Okay, good Erev Shabbos, everybody. This week it's Parshas Beshalach, and there is really the first pasuk already presents a very interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim about what's going on with the Bnei Yisrael and Hashem's intention for them, and it leads to a very very interesting, very different Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim that talks about also the way in which Hashem engages human beings and the way in which He tests them. And as we shall see, there are some interesting lessons that we could derive in terms of addiction and recovery from these thoughts. So let's start with the basic pasuk, right? We know it's Vayhi b'shalach paro asa'om, v'yinochem Hashem derech eretz plishtim, right? That pen yinochem, right, that basically the pasuk seems to say that even though there would be a direct route from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban says it actually would take 10 days journey to go from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. We know the Shvatim did it to get food, but Hashem didn't take them that way. They took him. Hashem took the Bnei Yisrael the roundabout way. Because, and here the Mefarshim slightly differ as to exactly what the chashash was, but more or less, the chashash was, the fear was that if they were encounter some kind of war at this point, a war with Mitzrayim, maybe a war with others, whatever it is, at this point they were too weak, and then they would say, Nitna Rosh v'Neshuva Mitzrayim, and actually they said that many times anyway, but it would have been worse, it would have been more intense. So Hashem took them the roundabout way. Now, going the roundabout way, what is that? What is that about? So you could say it's just practical, because Hashem saw they couldn't handle it. But it raises a number of questions. And the Rambam and the Mora uses this as an example to talk about what is the Torah view of a nisayon, of a test. We know there's such a thing called being tested, right? Avram had asar nisyonos. Avram had 10 tests, right? We know there's such a thing. A person can be tested. But what does it mean to have your faith tested? So the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perachof Dalad, says a position which, let me just say right out, that this is not necessarily the majority opinion. So I'm not passing for anybody what they should actually hold in terms of hashkafically. I'm using this Rambam for an object lesson that his perspective is very enlightening, and you don't have to necessarily paskin like the Rambam to get enlightenment from his position. But he says as follows. He says, Inyan hanisayon kasha ma'od, the subject of people being tested by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very difficult. In fact, he says, "Humin akashim hachamur shebetorah," is one of the great questions in the Torah. He actually says that there's six places, you can look it up, there's six places that the Rambam quotes where the Torah mentions the concept of nisayon. And he says that people have, the common people, the hamoyinam, have a certain conception of nisayon that he believes is not Taradik, which we'll talk about in a minute, because this is a conception, like I said, that maybe other Mefarshim hold of, other Rishonim hold of. But he says that the idea that Hashem mevi yisuron al ha'odam b'li shiyaktem lo chet kedei laharbos charo. The Rambam says this idea that Hashem could put suffering on a person without them having sinned first, solely for the purpose of increasing the reward, he says, "Hare yisod zeh lo nizkar b'Torah b'loshem mefurash klau." You'll never find in the Torah this being mentioned. Actually, he's going to say later there is one pasuk by the Mun, which we shall see. It's not the pesukim in this parsha that describe the Mun. It's the pesukim in Dvarim Periches that do sound that way. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the point, he says, generally speaking, when the Torah talks about nisayon, it doesn't refer to the idea that a person should be given suffering that he does not, quote, deserve, solely for the purpose of creating sachar, of creating reward. And he says quite the contrary. He says that this popular opinion is against the Gemara, because the Gemara in Shabbos on, where is it? The Gemara is in, I think, Shabbos Nun Hey, says that Ein Misa B'lo Chet V'Ein Yisurin B'lo Avon. Yeah, Shabbos Nun Hey Amud Aleph. The Rambam says that the Gemara Shabbos says Ein Misa B'lo Chet V'Ein Yisurin B'lo Avon, that there's no such thing as death without having committed a sin. There's no such thing as suffering without also having some kind of wrongdoing. So the Rambam says, Zeo yeshkafa shreel yosadeya, shekol tyranny bal seichel. He says, every Torah dika bal seichel person should believe this position. And he says that because otherwise it would imply that Hashem is just, you know, torturing somebody, twisting them, trying to test them just to get their reward. Again, this is not everybody's opinion, but this is the Rambam's opinion. So what is the purpose of a Nisayan then? Because we do find in the Torah that people were tested, right? And we'll see the Bnei Yisrael were tested with the Mun, which is this week's Parsha. We also will see the Bnei Yisrael were tested by the roundabout circuitous route that they took instead of going directly into Eretz Yisrael. So what's the test in the Torah? So the Rambam says, Da ki kol nisayon shenemar b'Torah harei mataraso v'inyano. What's the purpose of every nisayon in the Torah? Sheyedu b'nei odem masheroi lahem lasos o masheroi lizbar. The point of the test is in some way to create a PR event, a public relations event that would teach people what to think or what to do. That the test itself, the test itself is not about the individual who's getting the reward and punishment, although the individual might get reward and punishment for it. But the test is basically a PR event to teach people an object lesson of how they should either think or behave. And then he goes on to explain, for example, he goes on to explain that what about the Mun? The Pasuk by the Mun says, Laman anasenu, hayelich b'terasi imlo. It says, in order to test you to see if you'll follow my Torah. One of the more stronger psukim, which is in, like I said, Devarim Perches, it says, and this does sound, this is why the Rambam wants to address this pasuk specifically, this pasuk sounds like the popular opinion that one can get tested even though they don't deserve any type of punishment in order to get a greater reward. Because the pasuk says, Hama'achilcha man b'midbar, Hashem who gave you man in the midbar, asher lo yedun avosecha, that your fathers never knew such a thing, humans never ate such a strange thing in their lives, laman anoscha, in order to cause you to suffer, laman nasoscha, in order to test you and elevate you, lahativcha b'achrisecha, so that you'll have good in the end, which does sound a little bit like the idea that a person would undeservingly experience suffering in order to get the reward. But the Rambam rejects that. The Rambam rejects that. He says, no, even though it sounds that way, that's not the truth. It doesn't make sense. Hashem wouldn't do that. He says, it's either one of two things. He says, either it's the idea is, again, an object lesson, that is to teach people how one should think and behave. And the Mun was a revolutionary experience where it was proven for once and for all that it is possible for humans to rely completely on Hashem for sustenance. And so anybody who wants to devote themselves to the study of Torah, there's an implicit promise that they will be supported. If you want to look it up, the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yorvo explains that anybody who truly thirsts for Torah can become an honorary member of Shevet Levi, and Hashem will somehow support that person. Let me add that the Rambam didn't mean that the person would go begging and asking for tzedakah, because the Rambam talks about that. He considers that a chil Hashem to do that. He puts that in Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's a very controversial Rambam, but the Rambam holds it for a person to learn and not work and to ask for tzedakah would be a chil Hashem. The Rambam means that a person will devote himself to learning Torah and somehow magically, like Mun, they will be supported, but not by asking for it, which is very interesting in and of itself. But in any case, he says that's one part of the mun, that was the lesson. It wasn't a test in a sense that they were going through suffering that they didn't deserve. It was a way to teach something for the Doros. And then he adds something fascinating, which is the subject matter of today's discussion, which he says the other possibility is as follows. He said that the Bnei Yisrael, leaving the Midbar, leaving Mitzrayim, were really unfit. They were undeveloped as a people. And he said that what they needed to do was they needed to make themselves stronger. And he goes on to say that Ilmali Induyam Vigyasam Bamidbar, if it wasn't for their suffering and their travails in the wilderness, Lo Hoyu Yucholon Lichbosh Esaart Valoli Lachim, they would not have had the wherewithal, they would not have had the emotional independence to conquer Eretz Yisrael nor to fight a war. Now, even miraculous wars that the Bnei Yisrael fought, it had to be people couldn't have Lo Yimas Es Lovav Achiv. They had, we would take people away. In Parshas Ki Tsetse, it talks about that if a person would be afraid to fight, we would say they shouldn't go to fight because they'll cause panic. They'll cause people to be in fear. And so even to have this miraculous victory, you need to have bitachon, and cowards can't do that. So the Bnei Yisrael would have been weak. And that's why it says, the Rambam says, that Hashem took them. It says, Torah is there. The Torah explains this, that Hashem was afraid that the Jews will see war and they'll panic and run back to Mitzrayim. And therefore, that's why Hashem took them through the long route through the Midbar, so that they develop certain skills by being tough. And this is very interesting. The Rambam says, "Ki his angus ma'avedus es ha'omets," because pleasure and indulgence neutralizes strength. V'tzimtzma mazoin, but a limit on food, va'inoi, and a degree of suffering, me'vienes ha'omets, that brings strength and courage. And that he atovisher baba parshazu bachrisam. That's the ultimate benefit that the pasuk was talking about. Hashem gave them the mon and tested them with the suffering of the mon, not so they'll get some reward in olam haba, even though that might be true. But he's saying simply to strengthen their character. And the Rambam says that in nisayon itself, that the Torah's idea of a nisayon is not to create reward for somebody, even though they might get rewarded. But that their nisayon is to put them through some kind of experience that toughens them and strengthens them and teaches them something. We'll go on to the Rambam adds further in Mordechuchim in Perek Lamed Beis, Chelek Gimel Perek Lamed Beis, he again discusses the issue of why Hashem took them the circuitous route. And one of the questions he asks is, why would not Hashem put in them the knowledge, the courage and the bravery? Put it in them miraculously. And then they don't have to go through all this trouble. So the Rambam says, if you want to ask that, you might as well ask why even have any of the Nevi'im give any of the Jews Musar? Just make them frumer. Just build them up. Right? Why did Hashem make it in this nature that people have to be built up on their own? So he goes on to say that you have to understand, he says, Kol Hanisim, all the miracles, Afal Pi Shein Shinei Teva, Shal Motzim Yechad Enim Tzayim, even though when Hashem makes a miracle, it completely changes nature. Hare Teva Ishi Bnei Odom Lo Yishanosam Hashem Klal Al Derech Nes. Hashem will never change the nature of a person by a miracle. And let me say that again, because that's a fascinating concept. He's saying that Hashem, although he performs nisim, will never miraculously change a person's own nature. And he says, he wants you to know, he says, not because Hashem can't do it, because Hashem could do anything. So if he wants to, he can do it. But he doesn't do it because it's against the Torah philosophy. The Torah philosophy is that people have to take that step themselves to grow and develop, because that is sachar and onesh. Now, you can ask, why is there sachar and onesh? A lot of other questions that you could ask. There's this idea that's called nama de chisufa, bread of shame, which means that the ultimate kindness is for us to earn our reward, that if we don't earn our reward, that we feel a certain shame and we don't feel a certain ownership on the reward. These are things that are not so fully easy to understand in their deepest way. But the Rambam is making a point, and that he's saying that the Hashem will never miraculously change the nature of a person. The person must undergo experiences that allow them to change their nature. And this is what the Rambam is saying is pshat in a nisayon, a test. Of course, a person might go through suffering because they're being punished. But if a person is going through suffering not because they're being punished, it's not to give them a reward in the world to come, even though that may be. It is to help them go through a certain experience that develops their character. And I want to talk about two other ideas related to this to understand how serious this is, and then talk about how it relates to, you know, to recovery and addiction in particular. The Gemara in Yuma on Pei Vav Amud Beis says, Gedola tshuva, shezidonos naslos kazachuyos. The Gemara over there is talking about tshuva me'ava, and it says if someone does repentance out of sincerity, and not just fear, but true sincerity, to be attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the averos, even the averos that he did b'mezid, become turned into zchuyos, they become turned into mitzvahs. We also know a saying in Pirkei Avos, ben hehe oimer, lafum tzara agra, to whatever degree is the suffering, that is the reward. And I think it's important for us to go past a grade school understanding of these concepts. On a simple level, both of these things in different ways seem to be saying that if you really try hard, you get a big E for effort, and you get like some kind of bonus points, you know? So if you work hard, you get a bigger reward. If you do tshuva me'ava, not only do you get forgiven, but you get like you rack up bonus points. But life is not a video game. And these things are much deeper. And it's important for us to understand what Chazal might really be talking about over here. And I think the best way to explain that is to give you a couple of examples, and then you'll see what I'm driving at. Let's say, just happened last Matzah Shabbos. It was Kiddush Levana, and it was very, very cold where we were in New York. I mean, it was really cold. So standing outside and saying Kiddush Levana, and you're supposed to say Kiddush Levana outside, directly under the moon. So when you know, standing out there in the freezing cold and to say the Kiddush Levana slowly, right, that's what it says over there, that you know, halavai, once a month you get a chance to see the Shekhinah. So anyway, it's freezing cold. The idea to stay there in the freezing cold and not rush and say the davening properly, you could call that a nisayon. I think that's fair to say that's a nisayon. But what's the mentality? You know, if you go in there and the idea is just to suffer, and like I said, on a grade school understanding, well, you're putting in effort, so you should get points. So God should pay you a little more reward. But, you know, that's kind of ridiculous, because the mentality of why you're doing it goes in. So let's put it this way. If your mentality is that you have a tremendous love for the mitzvah and you want to understand how the need to connect to Hashem overrides your physical concerns, and you're enacting that by that act of devotion of being out there in the cold, right? I think that is a nisayon. That elevates you. That builds a certain character strength, because you're enacting, you're following through on a conviction. The conviction is that Hashem is more important than anything, and the opportunity to greet Him is more important than the freezing cold. And when you do it with that state of mind, you are enacting and acting out and expressing an inner conviction and living by that conviction. And that strengthens you by force of habit to continue to live by those kinds of convictions. That is using a sign the right way. That's Lefum Tzara Agra, that the greater the effort, the greater the reward. You know, Stam, somebody that's going to go out there and say, well, I'm going to suffer because it's good to suffer for mitzvahs, and doesn't have the right mentality going into it and is just feeling bitter and suffering, or even they're just doing it almost like a chok, okay, I'll suffer for a mitzvah, it's like I'll shake a lulav. I don't think they're getting the full benefit out of it. I'll give you another mashal to explain it. Think of, you know, a person could really love their spouse, and they'll buy a they'll go out and want to buy a really, you know, beautiful anniversary gift, and they'll spend a lot of money, more than they really could afford. Two people could do the same act, and for one person, if they feel resentful while they're doing it, it's oppressive, and it's not creating a greater bond between the two. It's not creating a better relationship. Could be, if the spouse really likes the gift and they'll be happy with the gift, it could be something will be accomplished. But the one who's doing the act is not growing, right? But if on the other hand, the person really feels, this is my spouse, I have tremendous hakaras hatov, tremendous gratitude, and I need to do something to act on that conviction. The conviction's in my heart. I need something to strengthen that, to put it into play, to live by that conviction, and so I'm going to spend more money than I'm comfortable to show hakaras hatov, to show my gratitude to this person. That, then, the person becomes elevated by it. And that's what we're talking about when a person, when any person, but certainly an addict, you know, experiences an isayin, right? On a simple level, you say, well, if you resist an isayin, you're going to get a reward. You know, like I said, on a grade school level, Hashem's going to give you some little bonus points because, or big bonus points because, hey, you were omer b'nisayon. But they don't believe that you're getting your full mileage out of the mitzvah if you do it that way. But if you're omer b'nisayon, that you understand what your convictions are, and you follow those convictions and those values, and that allows you to stay on track, you're strengthening your character in a very powerful way that opens you up to more experiences. So a person in a marriage, right, who has different kinds of nisyonos and practices shmiras einayim and practices faithfulness to their spouse, they can do it because they have to do it and resist temptation, or they can do it because they really are trying to channel themselves into the relationship, to channel their effort, their focus, their emotions, their loyalties into the relationship. When you do that, you're building character in a way that will produce a very different quality of the relationship ultimately, with joys and intimacy and affection and loyalty to a power and degree that other people would never reach. And, you know, very similarly, a person who's not yet in a relationship and has to work on these aspects of character, and obviously there's a great deal more of abstention as somebody who's not married has to practice. When they're doing that, again, you want to just do it, omer b'nisayon, have to resist, fine, you'll get something out of it. But if you're doing it because you understand what this really means, this is about preparing yourself for a life that's not focused around self-gratification, for a life that's focused on mutuality and relationships, and you're training yourself to stay away from self-gratification, not to suffer, but to elevate your character and live by your convictions, then when you're omer b'nisayon, you build up in yourself something that's very, very powerful. And let me just add one final point. The Or HaChaim speaks about the pasuk Hashem yilochem lechem v'atem tachrishun by the Yam Suf, when the Jews were about to be, you know, taken over by the Egyptians, and they were stuck by the Yam Suf. You know, it says Hashem will fight for you. You just have to keep quiet. You don't have to do anything. And he talks about a measure about Chezkiah, which I'll explain in a moment. But the effort to try sometimes only has to be the smallest effort. Like we say, you know, we admitted we were powerless and that our lives had become unmanageable. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore our sanity, right? We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, right? When a person takes even that step, right, physically, Pesach Kachuda Shalmachat, right, that the person even opens up the door a tiny bit, then That is their change. That is their nisayon. Right? We said Hashem won't, according to the Rambam, Hashem won't change a person's nature. But that effort that the person says, I can't do it, I need your help, Hashem, that already is a change. And that's enough. And the Orach Chaim quotes a medrash. It's in the beginning of Eicha Rabba. If you want to look it up, it's Os Lamed in the Psichta de Eicha Rabba. And he quotes a medrash about Chizkiah, that Chizkiah was his level of tefillah. He was so overcome and felt so helpless when he was going to be overrun by Ashur. And it says that he said, "Ani ein bikoach lo laroig v'lo lirdof v'lo lispalo. I have no strength not to kill, not to fight, not to chase, not even to daven. El ani yoshin al mitasi, I will sleep on my bed. V'ata ose, and you Hashem will do." V'cheinos Hashem, and so Hashem did. The miracle occurred. So even that slightest little bit of effort that the person truly and humbly turns himself over to Hashem and asks Hashem to help, that already is what the Rambam's talking about, that a person can be, that Hashem won't change the way a person thinks, but a person has to change the way they think, and then they could experience all kinds of siyata d'shmaya. So I'm going to shut off the recording and open up for a conversation. Hold on a second.